It's Rick Emerson, the radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, we have Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Jim Roop is going to be joining us, more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. And we find step number two in making Scotty J impersonate the Oscar Mayer Wiener kid so that we might laugh at his misery. Ladies and gentlemen, would you now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program.
From, I like it here.
From Cape Canaveral, Florida, Dick Giuliano! Hello, sir.
Dropped out three times. Look at him.
I don't even think he can hear us. Dick Giuliano!
Yeah, right.
I hope he doesn't swear.
Best day ever. Dick!
Have you had any ISDN trouble?
Giuliano!
Yeah, you have, Dick.
Hey!
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Rick.
We were just really praying you weren't going to drop the F word or something there.
Oh, no, sorry about that. We're having a little technical snafu here while they prepare the shuttle.
We never noticed.
And, you know, the telco guys are here working on it. But anyway, I'm here at the Kennedy Space Center. Everything looks good except for the weather.
Yes. Can you do me a huge... Do you have to turn that off, Sarah? Can you do me a favor? Can I reintroduce you?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to... Okay, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program again from Cape Canaveral, Florida, CNN radio correspondent and guy with a head full of space thoughts, Dick Giuliano. Hello, sir.
3, 2, 1, liftoff, and I'm here. Hello there.
Fantastic. See, you are the gold standard of professionalism, Dick Giuliano. Fantastic. So, you said they're having problems. This is broadcast problems, not shuttle problems,
That's
right?
Exactly right. You know, they're not working any technical issues out at the launch pad. This has been a really smooth countdown. All the astronauts are ready, but they've got this cold front that's rolled into Florida, and it's a huge mass of clouds, and this really does threaten to spoil the show tonight. The space shuttle, we know after more than 100 launches, is a fair weather flyer. They need near perfect weather to take off, and they don't have that tonight, so they're going to really probably press forward and hope for a break in the clouds.
I have a question for you. Two questions, actually. One of which maybe is a little dumb of me to ask. The other is not so much. I'll ask the dumb one first. Color me silly here, but why is it that the space shuttle and all of these the space launches always happen from places in the deep south? Is there a reason for that I'm just too dense to figure out?
Well, no. It's an interesting question. Really, the heritage of America's space program occurred in the south. Before there was a NASA, there was an Army range here at Cape Canaveral. And one of the reasons is that it hugs the coast, and they could test rocket ships over the water, and when they had failures, it would kill, you know, just fish instead of people. So that's mainly why. So you look around, for example, the Gulf of Mexico, Alabama, Mississippi, these were all early places in America's space program.
And then this is the first night launch of the shuttle in 4 years. So the question is, why are they launching it at night? It just seems like you're inviting problems if you do that.
Well, they're launching at night because of orbital mechanics. This mission is bound for the International Space Station, which is orbiting above Earth. Picture it sort of like the space station and the space shuttle being two vehicles on a highway, and they're in different lanes. And if you wanted these vehicles to meet up, you'd want them in the same lane. So tonight is one of those times when the International Space Station will be passing directly overhead of the Kennedy Space Center. This puts it in the same launch plane that the shuttle will take when it lifts off, and it makes it a little bit easier, and it uses less fuel for the vehicle to eventually catch up with the International Space Station about 2 days from now after liftoff.
Now, am I wrong about this, or is there a definitive finite end to the space shuttle program
Yes.
in the future? When is the shuttle program over?
The shuttle program is scheduled to end in 2010. And this mission and all the remaining missions are pretty much devoted, most of them are pretty much devoted to completing construction of the International Space Station. Remember, it was kind of in a hiatus there when Columbia had its accident in 2003. So it still requires more construction. This crew is bringing up another 4,000-pound truss that will help complete construction of another laboratory, and two of the spacewalkers are going to be doing a rewiring, an electrical rewiring job on the space station.
So my question, so then what, is the space shuttle going to, the space station rather, going to continue to operate after 2010, and if so, how do you get there and back? You don't have a shuttle.
Well, they've been using the Soyuz craft. In fact, the Russian Soyuz has been so reliable that this really is the first time in 4 years they're using space shuttle to exchange personnel. There's a young lady from Needham, Massachusetts, who's one of the astronauts. She's a scientist. Her name is Suni Williams, and she is going to be dropped off at Space Station, where she'll spend the next 6 months, and they'll bring home Tom Ryder. In the past 4 years, it has been the Russian spacecraft that has done most of this exchanging of personnel.
Does living in the space station for a long time, does that do weird things to your body? Do you come back and your bones are soft or something?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's one of the things that happens, and it's one of the issues, one of the problems that mankind needs to solve if we are going to follow the advice of Stephen Hawking, who, I don't know if you caught that, Rick, but just a couple of weeks ago, Hawking, the great physicist, the great cosmologist from England, suggested that mankind must reach out, must inhabit other worlds, because the Earth rather is facing an eventual cataclysm with gradual heating. He says it's happened before in the planet's history, and it'll happen again. And the way to save mankind is to reach out and colonize other places.
Are the guys at NASA really jazzed about this whole business of maybe there being water on Mars? Are they thinking this is going to get them, the government's going to turn on the money spigot again?
Maybe. Could be. That's not a bad idea. They announced just last week that they want to go back to the moon by, I think it's 2030, and begin a small colony there. It has been NASA's goal for some time to send people to Mars. They believe, Michael Griffith, the administrator, believes that the whole purpose of the National Aeronautics Space Administration is for manned spaceflight, that is putting people in space rather than robots. You know, the scientific community always argues it's much easier and it's much safer to send robots into space, but NASA believes that there's something inherent in the American psyche to send people to the William Shatner called the final frontier.
Fantastic. Dick Giuliano at Cape Canaveral, Florida, my friend. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Rick.
We look forward to the next time. Thank you, sir.
Thank
there you.
You
go. Dick Giuliano covering the shuttle launch. Boy, that guy, how professional is that guy?
He's like the definition of pro.
He is. Now, this is no knock on Lisa or anybody, but that guy is the gold standard. I mean, talking, and this sounds like a strange comparison, but talking to Dick Giuliano is like when I interviewed Ted Nugent. I don't even need to be here. I just sort of like, so, you're there in Cape Canaveral. Go. And then we were having a conversation, but you got the feeling that wasn't really necessary. He could have just gone on, just done all that. And he even knows how to cap it. Going to what William Shatner called the final frontier. Dick Giuliano at Cape Canaveral. It was so great, man. A bygone era. You don't hear a lot of those guys anymore. It's a bygone time, Sarah Dillon. Not a world of men. All right. It is, Let's see here. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, I'm going to quickly, I'm just going to deviate here for a second and look at my list, because that the whole phone thing, and then what with Wilton calling up and smacking us all around about whatever, and then we got onto the whole thing about Dick Clark, and some of the stuff, I mean, even by my standards, I'm a little bit behind here, so I want to make sure we're going to get to some of these things. I have this long list of questions that I wanted to get answered early on. We may not be able to talk about that today. Oh, real quickly, though, I know we have, to Wilton's unending horror, Wilton, we do have some Lindsay Lohan news coming up later on, but I just got to read this. I got two emails here.
Oh, come, I think a lot of people are interested. It's amusing.
Oh, I know. Wilton's better than we are, though. Wilton's above hearing about Lindsay Lohan's panties, or whatever. He doesn't have any interest in the heaving bosoms of Britney Spears. Wilton, you are no American, sir. You are no American. We have this is from, let's see, Rick. Subject, I apologize in advance for this. Subject line, Lindsay Lohan's little sister. Rick, Ali Lohan, was that how I pronounce it? Ali Lohan was on CNN talking about her new album last night. And I said out loud, quote, dude, Lohan's sister is even hotter than she is, end quote. Plus, she has that raspy Lohan voice going on. Does Lindsay Lohan have a raspy voice? Does she? Is it like the smoker?
Don't you remember that in Bobby?
Kind of.
Yeah, she's it's very raspy.
I don't remember anything about that movie. I just remember Lawrence Fishburne going, you see, let me explain race relations by dint of this blueberry cobbler. And then at that point, my brain just sort of turned on itself and I fell into a deep coma.
I had no idea you didn't like it so much. I really did enjoy the movie.
It's not that I didn't like Bobby. It's not that it's a terrible film. It's what I was talking about earlier with Tim and that Heroes show that I've never watched. And we'll talk about that with Peter Carlin later, about an hour from now. It's not that I hated Bobby. It's just that it was sort of bland. It really was just kind of forgettable. Bobby seemed sort of like one of those made-for-HBO movies. But, you know, it was competently made, a stellar cast. There were moments that I liked, but I just found Bobby to be sort of bland. I just found it to be, it was just sort of a mediocre film. I've seen worse. I've seen a lot worse, seen a lot better. It was just sort of bland. Ali Lohan was on CNN talking about her new album. I didn't even notice that.
Released a Christmas album.
Does she have previous albums out, Lindsay Lohan's sister?
I think she's a Disney girl, too. I think she has some TV show or something on there.
Anyway, he says, Ali Lohan was on CNN talking about her new album, and I said out loud, quote, dude, Lohan's... I can totally hear this, too. I can totally hear a guy saying this, quote, dude, Lohan's sister is even hotter than she is, end quote. Plus, she has that raspy Lohan voice, too. Then the interviewer wished her a happy early 13th birthday.
Oh, come on.
I'm just reading that Rick Emerson is the messenger here.
Okay.
I am merely the vessel. Then he just types, ick, ick, ick. Oh, God. I feel all wedges of Clyde and shades of Scotty J now. Seriously, though, dude, she looked more like a 20-year-old pole dancer than a 12-year-old kid. How was I to know? He says. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, sir.
Well, seriously, if Lindsay Lohan's 20 and she looks 35... I mean, her sister...
Lohan's age unnaturally.
Yeah.
That's a phrase we had to popularize. Dude, she's like 30. She's 35 in Lohan years. You ought to try to popularize this phrase. You ought to fixate on some physical flaw, and I know that is something you hate doing. You ought to find a physical flaw on Lindsay Lohan's face, just so you can use the phrase, dude, that girl's totally got Lohan brow. Rick Emerson's going to give you that one for free.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, I'll stop doing the third person thing, because I'm doing it now without even really meaning to.
Exactly, it's slipping into your lexicon a little too comfortably.
He says, P.S., I tried to find some photos of Ali Lohan on... I bet that wasn't uncomfortable. I bet there aren't federal marshals headed to your house right now. He said, I tried to find some photos of Ali Lohan online to illustrate how clearly it was to be fooled. But all of the photos I found make her obviously look like a little child. He says, I swear to God, though, CNN had her all done up like a Fox News anchorette. All right.
I've seen her. She does look very young.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I thought you were going the other way. I thought you were going to be on his side there. I thought you were going to come to his defense
I wish.
She looks like a 40-year-old. I don't think I could pick Ali Lohan out of a lineup. And then I will read this. This is from someone. This is from a CBS Radio Portland employee who I will not identify for reasons of decorum. Subject line, cornhole. Hey, Rick. This email from a CBS Radio Portland employee says...
Female or male?
Female. Hey, Rick. I heard you talking about the cornholing game yesterday. I couldn't really hear what you were saying, but I thought you would like to know that my boyfriend is a... I swear to God, this is what the email says. I thought I would share something you might find amusing, Rick. My boyfriend is actually a card-carrying member. Of the American Cornhole Association. Have a great day, she says. I will, ma'am. Miss. I will indeed. Thank you.
What? Yes. Never mind.
Yes?
No, you couldn't answer my question. What is the Cornhole Association? How do you get a membership? What do you do?
You totally,
you make cornhole games?
You totally sound like you're in one of those classroom films. Really.
What is the American Cornhole Association? How does one gain entry into this exclusive club? In the coming hour, you're going to find answers to these and many other questions. I'm here with...
And then she would, like, turn to some guy, and then they would walk through the factory. We should take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. We have some phone calls to get to. We'll talk... Because we have the Grammy thing coming up, we'll talk about we'll play the Carrie Underwood thing. And that may actually naturally segue into this guy. We here at the Rick Emerson Show, we've been asked to participate in a scientific study. Some people are trying to find the worst sound... this sounds like a kooky, dumb thing I'm making up. But they're trying to find the worst sound ever. The single, not like a song, but the worst noise ever. So we're going to play some of those. We can just go right from the Carrie Underwood thing to that. And we got Carlin coming up later on, Roop, etc. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Marvin Lee, a day better known as Mr. Loaf. You stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. I really am impressed with how quickly you were able to do that. You were bathroom, business done, out of the bathroom.
Hands washed.
I would say 40 seconds or less.
Yeah?
It's 503-733-2970. There's so much happening with every... I know I'm jinxing us by saying this, but it seems like lately this program just picks up... It's just a snowball going downhill, and I mean that in a good way. The show just picks up momentum with every passing moment, and there's always stuff happening, and we're not able to get to it. We should put off talking about the surprise. Do you think?
Yeah. Let's wait until next hour.
All right, we have a surprise next hour. Don't dwell on it. For
a
God's
surprise?
Sake. Yes, whatever you do, don't dwell on it.
Is it something to eat?
Perhaps.
I suppose. I think I speak for all of us here when I say ooh, but it's ooh, E-W, not O-O-H, not ooh.
I think that's O-O-O.
That's O-O-O, not the,
Oh.
Oh. Yes.
And now,
thank you.
From
thanks
the
for getting
Ministry
me out of, that.
Of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, we have breaking news here. Oregon State Police Lieutenant Greg Hastings has announced the results of the autopsy on California resident James Kim.
The cause of death to James Kim was exposure with hypothermia.
I'm stunned.
According to Dr. Olson, there were no injuries to the body that would be incapacitating, and at this time, he is unable to determine an approximate time that Mr. Kim died.
Okay, can I just tell you that...
That's so unfortunate.
The funny thing about this, and I don't mean funny, ha-ha, is that we got this. Rick and friends, I've been listening to your show for over an hour now and haven't heard an update on James Kim's autopsy, unlike all the other radio stations that can't seem to go more than 5 minutes without mentioning it. I need to know the results, he says, and then he signs it. Joshing is here, and he says, I suspect a drug overdose. The reason they're talking about this, though, is because, and see, I'm surprised they didn't address it, actually.
The cause of death to James Kim was exposure with hypothermia. According to Dr. Olson, there were no injuries to the body that would be incapacitating.
Doesn't Dr. Olson just sound like the kind of guy who'd be on one of those 70s family dramas, though? And secondly, you know what that's about. That is about, was he killed by a cougar or a mountain lion?
So he obviously was attacked by an animal, then.
No, he was not.
Death to James Kim was exposure with hypothermia. According to Dr. Olson, there were no injuries to the body that would be incapacitating. And at this time, he is unable to determine an approximate time that Mr. Kim died.
Remember when we were talking to Ed McCarthy yesterday, he was saying that there was some unfortunate business with an animal attack, too.
Maybe it was after he was dead.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be hideous, but I'm saying, I'm really not trying to be hideous. And normally when we say that, it means that I'm trying to be as hideous as humanly possible and then beyond that. I really am not trying to be. I'm trying to say it's a terrible story. It sucks. It's awful. But, I mean, if you're going to go and it's like the lady or the tiger, like if you're going to go, better to go from hypothermia than to go by having a bear have you for lunch. You know what I mean? If the bear's going to have you for lunch, I'll take that post-mortem. Thanks. I mean, it better just to freeze to death than that.
Well, Hastings says Kim and his wife believe there was a town about 5 miles away and that the creek would lead him there. However, the town was actually 15 miles away and the creek would not lead
to it. The creek leads you nowhere. If somebody had called in earlier, it's during that unfortunate time period when the phones weren't working. And the guy had said, well, what if he had just stayed in the car? I think I don't know, but the question was, would that have done any better? But it would have, because that's how...
Yeah.
How did they eventually find
they found
it? The helicopter saw the
helicopter
car?
Saw the car.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, anyway. Okay. Let's just lighten the mood by reading this email. Rick, about Lowen. A problem with her face? She looks like a catcher's mitt version of what's that kid from Malcolm in the Middle? Frankie Muniz?
Munoz.
Munoz. Looks like a catcher's mitt version of Frankie Munoz of Malcolm Middle fame. Sweet Christ almighty. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's time for Bill Frist to say goodbye.
Bill Frist says goodbye.
Change is good, and change is constructive.
I have been fired.
It changes. The people who serve in this body change, but what doesn't change is that every one of us who serves believes deeply in the genius of the American
In the
democracy.
Jesus of the American democracy. Okay.
What doesn't change is we have to put up with people from those slave states. Being said, the U.S. Senate is a noble calling.
It's about preserving as best we can the great hope that we represent here that is embodied in this institution.
The fresh green dress of the new world.
The responsibility, the opportunity, the compassion, the basic decency that lie at the heart of who we are.
All right, pack your crap and get out. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, hello, sir. Now, were you the one who had the question?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, hold on a second here. 1 second. Sarah, you want to jab the button a bunch of times? Have you tried rebooting? I'll wait while you reboot.
Hello?
Hello.
No.
Sounds like the phone calls they used to have on the Flintstones.
Hold on just a second, sir. Your call is important to us and will be answered as soon as the goddamn equipment works. Jesus, that was unnerving. That's like I made it happen by shouting. Now it's going to do from now on. All right, what's up?
I made it happen.
What's those magic fingers? These dirty hands. What's up?
I have a theory on survival of the chemist.
You have a what?
A theory on how we could survive, and let this be a lesson for us in the future.
Is this going to be a kooky remark?
No, actually, it's going to make a lot of sense and be funny. He could have stayed in the
car. All right, hold on a second. Now, here's the thing. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. We're going to do this. We did this yesterday, and it had mixed results. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about this comment, and then we'll ask you if you still want to go forward. Just hang on. Don't go anywhere. You stay right there. We're going to give you a few moments to think about what you're going to say. All right. Are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Would you still like to go forward with this comment about James Kim?
Well, that or I can do my imitation of Jacques Cousteau.
Will you do one, then the other?
Okay. All right, I'll do Jacques first. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
We are.
Okay.
Our first diet in a world so physically striking, it overwhelms our senses.
That's pretty great, actually. And that's one of those guys that nobody does an impression of. So well done. Congratulations, sir.
We were no longer divers, but children in a candy store filled with surprises.
I really am impressed.
I don't remember what he sounds like.
Now, well, see, but that's the thing is, okay, see, this, you know how it all...
I suppose it's passable.
No, it all comes together. This is, do you remember how we got into the business of claiming that Scotty J is the original Oscar Mayer kid? It was because that guy impersonating Bowser from Sha Na Na, and you totally hit on it, Tim, which is nobody really remembers what that guy looks like. That's who you want to impersonate. Somebody that you're kind of aware of, but you can't really remember what they sound like.
All right.
So that's what this guy has done. I don't know if he sounds like Jacques Cousteau or not, but in my head, I'm like, well, I have no contrary information, so I accept it. Okay, what is your James Kim comment,
okay, sir? This is going to be as clean as possible.
Oh, God.
Why did he just kind of hang around and nurse like the children did?
Well, yeah. Well, I think we can all agree that with the endless painful wisdom of hindsight, perhaps he should have stayed in the car. But who are we to judge, sir?
Now, perhaps...
Oh, that's the hand of God stepping in right there. Yeah. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
That's Mr. Kim himself.
We are... Yeah, seriously. Thank you, sir. That you were really right. That was the ghost of James Kim interfering with the call.
Good for him.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, are we already at the Ministry of Truth?
Yeah, we never left it.
Ah, here we are. Hi, here's Tim.
Well, 60 Minutes has hired 790 years old. Anderson Cooper will make his debut this weekend.
Really? On 60 Minutes? Is he staying
at CNN? Yes, he is. Well, if you're a Gloria Vanderbilt, then you can do whatever you want.
I guess that is true. I guess the rules don't
question that.
I'm sorry.
Do as many programs as he pleases. Somebody will start making phone calls. You'll regret.
And you will be handled, sir. Okay, well, never mind. I withdraw the comment. Anderson Cooper, would you like this show, sir? You can, Anderson, please, you may have this program if it would please you, Anderson. Please.
Not necessarily him, his mom.
Don't have me killed. All right. So Anderson Cooper will be everywhere. He's the new Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, I guess he is. Time for a Gore Watch.
Here's your... Oh, I miss these guys. Al Gore. Here's your Gore Watch for Thursday.
He was on Oprah the other day, too.
Al Gore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was doing a slideshow, and then he went shopping at... Lowe's.
I'm human, just like you.
Energy-saving light bulbs, the ugly ones that look like pretzels.
Oh, man. Does he really buy those twisty-turny energy-saving light bulbs?
Yeah,
they really, they're hideous.
Lindsay Lohan has reportedly asked former Vice President Al Gore to help clean up her image. In an email written by the 20-year-old actress to friends and lawyers, she states she is sick of her portrayal in the media and wants to hold a press conference and state her opinions on how our society should be educated for the better of our country.
Oh, please let that press conference happen, please.
According to the New York Post, Lohan writes... Quote, Al Gore will help me. He came up to me last night and said he'd be very happy to have a conversation with me. If he's willing to help me, let's find out.
He's not.
Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton would be willing if we just ask. If we just ask. The Mean Girls star, whose rambling email is littered with spelling and grammatical errors, summons what she bizarrely calls the way of the future Howard Hughes to help her release a politically slash morally correct, fully adequate letter to the press, unquote. She says, I want to hold a press conference. And we'll do whatever necessary it is to do so.
And the press conference is for what again?
Clean up her image.
Okay.
She says she wants to state her views on our people, adding, because I have such an impact on our younger generations, as well as generations older than me, which we all know and can absolutely see.
This is genius.
Nobody take that girl's BlackBerry away from her, ever.
Fiery redhead insists that she has enough of the negative press coverage she receives because she is at, quote, such a young and tender age in a woman's life.
There's nothing young and tender about her. Even her tenderest parts are now like jerky. You know it's true.
She needs to be tenderized.
Are you sure this wasn't translated into Japanese and then back again?
No, what are those, Pravda?
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is English.
Please not to be having press conference for make benefit
this
glorious Lindsay.
Lindsay Lohan English.
She's speaking in
Queen's English.
Low English.
Yes.
As opposed to high English.
Yes.
Speaking in low English.
And then she also goes on the tirade about taking somebody to court for, I don't know.
Do you remember when we thought she was smart?
Tim was
way ahead of the pack. He always thought she was dumb.
No.
I do remember, because there was this time when she was sort of, this is a common canard on the Rick Emerson Show. We've said this a lot. You always have a positive impression of these people when they're not speaking. It's when they don't speak. It's as Diane Wiest would say. When they start to speak, that's when it all goes to hell. I remember thinking Lindsay Lohan. She seems like a stable, young, bright girl with a promising future.
No.
I know. I was a fool. I was blind, Tim Riley, and now I see. You were able to see what I was not able to grasp. As soon as she started to speak, that's when it all went to hell. So Al Gore, apparently, though, he's going to...
Set her straight.
He's going to set her straight. Ozone Man, as George Bush Sr. called him. All right, there's your Gore watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, domo. Domo. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
I miss those Gore watches. I wish he'd do something again. Here's Tim Riley.
He's practically everywhere. He's out doing his... you missed the slideshow, that's why.
I know. I missed the Earth and the Balance thing or whatever the hell it was.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I meant to see it and I didn't.
Dateline, Mississippi, Kevin Pug of Cedar Bluff, Mississippi, pled guilty to disturbing the peace and was fined $279 for tossing a 60-pound pig over the counter of Holiday Inn Express. Police said Pug gave no reason for his actions, and there was no evidence of intoxication. Nobody was hurt, including the pig.
I'm just I'm looking through these Kim emails to see which of these... Okay, well, let's... Taking my life in my hands. Sean, hello, sir.
Hello, yes.
Hi, what's up?
I was doing some reading last night about him. You were saying, how did they find him? And what they said was that they picked up on the ping from one of their cell phones in the car. Right. They actually, some guy from the cell company was helping him research that, and they triangulated a signal, and that's when they knew kind of where to send the helicopters.
It's just
that's correct.
It's bizarre that a guy who was the tech editor for CNET.com didn't have it, like more that he would trust. Like, do we know where he got his map information from?
They did have a map. But we don't know which map. They had a physical fold-out map.
It's strange that he would not be more laden down with technological advances. That we
but it is easy to get lost going to the coast because you're supposed to take a right somewhere in Salem. You go to Salem, there's no sign that says to the coast.
Yeah, true. No, yeah.
You have to know exactly where you're going. The state doesn't help.
I'm not making fun. I'm just saying it seems like it because Tim is exactly right. Any amount of time traveling in the Northwest and you realize that these roads are poorly labeled. And somebody was saying, well, why didn't he just walk back the way you came? And you can't always figure out the way you came.
No, especially after you've been out, I'm sure, you know, walking around with no food.
Oh, yeah. And
all that other stuff kicks in.
And you start to panic a little bit, and you're like, was it this way or was it that way? And then you just, it's a bad, situation.
The other thing I read last night was, because I was thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, well, gee, if you would have stayed in the car. And what they were saying was that they all stayed in the car together for 8 days.
It wasn't 8 days,
was it? And then after 8 days, yeah, that's what they said online.
Really?
And so it was like after 8 days of sitting in the car and nobody's coming.
I guess you figure the ninth day is probably not going to be much better.
Kinda, yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I got to do something here, you know, kind of a thing. You're probably sitting there with your kids and your wife. Everybody's just
kind of going, well, day seven sucked. Day eight sucked. Let's try nine. Yeah, I guess you probably
figure pretty soon you start looking at the littlest one as a food source. Yeah, it's like time to get out of the car and start walking.
Okay. Oh, no,
that would be wrong.
No.
Anyway, but
no. Losing your call, sir. No, we're... Okay. All right. I knew I was going to go back to those phones once too often on the subject. I knew we were going to go back one time too many, and it was just all going to end badly. It's 503-733-2970.
But what is true is when you get to Salem, which is supposed to be the turnoff to hit, I guess it is Route 22, the coast, there is no sign there saying this way to the coast.
Yep.
You have to know to get off on the city street, travel to the city, and then hook back on 22. And there are no signs to guard you along the way.
No, and as I touched on this yesterday, going to my brother's wedding rehearsal earlier, and that was in the summertime, I think. When the hell did my brother get married? Such a bad brother. I don't even remember. Sometime this year. Sometime when I was suitless. How sad, I mean, really how sad and horrible for everybody in my family that I put so much more effort into Aaron the Geek's wedding than my brother's. Anyway, I'm just saying what everybody knows to be true. But I remember going up into the whatever. I don't even want to say it was in the mountains, but it was like 10 minutes past Gresham or something. But you get up into those weird windy mountain roads, and I mean, it's just, and you're right that there's just like a wooden sign that was there that was legible, 50 years ago, and it's just been worn away to a nub by the elements, and you have no idea where you are. And that was in the middle of the day, in my car, with a GPS and a cell phone, which was still getting reception. And I was lost, and I drove right past it, and I just ended up in a thicket somewhere. And fortunately, it was light enough that I was able to turn around and drive right out. But, I mean, You know, you're not able to do that. You're going to be screwed. Okay. Okay. Fine. I will take this one final call, Scotty, based solely on your recommendation that I do so. It's on your head if this turns out. I swear to God, if this is another. All right. Christy, hello.
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 This is Car Stereo Joe's wife.
Ah, excellent. Yes.
Hi.
Hi there. How can we assist
we
you?
We actually traveled over that stupid Bear Camp Road this past summer, coming back from Gold Beach.
Uh-huh.
On the recommendation of a gas station attendant, which clearly was the wrong choice.
Don't listen to that guy, because never listen to a guy who tells you that something is 15 mile away.
Yeah, well, he said it was really scenic and pretty. And,
you can't miss it. Yeah.
It took us 4 hours to go across that in the summer, in the daylight. And after we got down out of there, we both said we would never go that way again, because we kept having this conversation of, if we break down, nobody will ever find us.
Oh, yeah.
Out here.
Man, how many times have you done that to? You've been in some place and you're like, if my car breaks down here, jackals will pick my bones clean. You know, they will never.
Pretty much.
They will find. Well, that's why you get those guys going, you know, I mean, and I love to believe as much as anybody that D.B. Cooper was alive somewhere spending his money on the beach. That's probably not the case, because they keep saying, well, nobody ever found the corpse of D.B. Cooper. I mean, you could have people searching 24 hours a day for 30 years and never find a guy who fell into the wrong section of the woods in this country. I mean, in this part of the country. It's bad, bad, bad. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. And Tim talked about that, the breaking down. Was it in Wyoming or Utah where the Mormons fixed your car?
Oh, yeah.
That. And, like, what is that?
That's because I passed out in the desert.
Really? Maybe you
I'm driving a Renault LeCar, which is kind of a bare-bones thing anyway.
Seriously. You're really on thin ice to begin with.
Well, I'm starting to get a little drowsy, but I think I can make it to the next town.
And by drowsy, you mean hallucinogenic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was my first experience in the desert. And all of a sudden, you know, I think I can close my eyes for just a couple seconds here and everything will be just fine. Now that I made it, why don't I try for a longer period of time?
Bam, into a cactus.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Maybe you just hallucinated the Mormons.
They were quite real.
I think about when I was like 17, 18 and I would drive over, like if I wanted to get home for the holidays or something, I remember driving over Snoqualmie Pass.
Oh, I had just every time I went back and forth to college, I thought I was going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Where was that?
Driving.
Christy, thank you for the call, by the way.
Yeah, through the mountain pass.
That's Christy. Yeah,
the mountain Eastern pass. Washington.
Oh, I would never go to that.
Oh, place. Man. And just.
And you get snowed in. Like, if you didn't make it, you know, after finals, before, like, the passes got too bad, you'd be stuck in Pullman.
And I remember. Just and you, I hate to use this phrase because it implies that the young and dumb are one and the same, and it's not really the case. But in my case, I was young and stupid, and driving a Ford Escort with bald tires, no chains, no studs, no winter gear of any kind. You know, like wearing the clothes on my back. No, this is the year before cell phones. No one knew where I was. I was surprised my parents for, you know, my mom for Christmas, driving over the pass. And I mean, and you know how it is, Sarah. You go to that when the pass is closed, mm-hmm. or it's closed, maybe
so
it's not.
So scary. And then there are these huge trucks barreling by you.
Oh, God.
You're on a cliff, basically, and like with these, 45-degree angle, like downhill
snow spots. Drifts covering that. You don't know where the road is. Covering the road, and you know, as Sarah said, that like a sheer drop-off, basically, is over to your left somewhere. You're just not really sure where.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are.
It'll go from like two lanes to one lane all of a sudden, and you can't tell where.
And you can't see the road in front of you. It's dark outside, and you are just. You're like, in your head, you are just. I remember this one. And everybody has a story like this, but this is one time driving that pass, and just. And it was in this Ford Escort, and I had. And I will always remember this because I had this one cassette tape. And everybody has had this happen where they get into a road trip or whatever, and they've only got one tape with them, and you listen to it 1,000 times. And it was the Bad to the Bone album by George Thorogood.
Oh, no.
Over, and I was really going through like a Thorogood phase for some reason because I was an idiot. And anyways, I was listening to the song, you know, and it was like the song Back to Wentzville was the one that was playing. And I have the most clear memory of driving over that pass with this George Thorogood cassette playing in the background, just my teeth gritted and just leaving indented prints in the steering wheel. I'm gripping it so hard. And I don't think I blinked for about 2 hours because you're just like eyes fixated on the road, 20 miles an hour, thanking sweet God Almighty that you put gas in the car at the last gas station, mm-hmm. because you know if you run out of gas, you are dead. You will die. They will find you frozen solid, like, and you will have that same, you'll look like that same pose that you don't, you know, what is that joke on Futurama? The if you freeze to death, try to do something brave, not that huddled over for warmth crap. And so, you know,
I do not miss living in Eastern Washington. I'm so glad I don't live there anymore.
Oh, man. And just, but you look back now and you're like, what was I, like, why was I driving? What was I thinking? You know?
It's the desperation to get back for the holidays.
It is, man. And it's, yeah. So, God, it was bad. Let me ask you this. Like, with
driving between, like, the pass and, like, right around the Centralia area, too, would get really bad.
Did you ever go over the pass when it was clear you were on it?
No.
I did that once.
Uh-oh.
I did that. And I don't know what in the hell. There was once where the pass was closed, but I was like, no, I got to make it through. I said I'd be there. And I mean, and after a while, you know, and it gets to a point where it's closed, and almost 20 years ago, probably. I guess it wouldn't have been that much, it was 15 years ago. And after a while, you know, the cops aren't there, and you can actually sneak over that pass, even though it's closed. And I mean, I have no idea what was going on in my head that I decided to do that. That, in retrospect, is the single worst decision. I mean, I am amazed I didn't die. So, God. And then those suspension bridges too. You get some of those bridges where it's like you're like, and the wind is actually making those bridges sway, and it's iced over. Yeah. Happy holiday traveling, everybody. Just, you know.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And a happy New Year.
We should break here. We'll come back with Jim Roop, who's going to talk to us about the Grammys. Peter Carlin will join us at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow, Aaron Geek and the City Duran will be in studio with us for Scott Daly, who's off gallivanting around somewhere. Tim Riley returns from the Ministry of Truth as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
We can send Paul, brothers that try to work it out to get ready.